This is Ted Kennedy. The Pentagon is misusing the Middle East crisis to seek increases in the wrong types of military spending. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush deserves credit for the support he's mobilized to Iraq's aggression against Kuwait, but he needs to keep a closer eye on the Pentagon budget. We have a Middle East crisis and a budget crisis. It's irresponsible for the Pentagon to misuse the Middle East to seek big bucks for gold-plated weapon systems like the B-2 bomber and Star Wars. They're budget busters that won't do any good in the Middle East. B-2 and Star Wars are leftovers from the Cold War, intended to prevent a massive Soviet nuclear attack. It's preposterous to keep spending tens of billions of dollars on such weapons, on the Pentagon's far-fetched new theory that we can use them against Iraq. The Cold War's over, Al. Don't tell me B-2 Simpson still has Star Wars in his eyes.
To B-2 or not to B-2? That is the question, eh, Ted? Right now, over 100,000 American lives are on the line in the Middle East. Our forces can destroy tanks, intercept aircraft, even fight off a chemical attack. But one weapon Iraq has, missiles, are by far the most dangerous and the ones we have little defense against at all. So what is Ted Kennedy's response to this one? Dump the SDI technology that could establish a defense against missile attacks. Dump the stealth technology that helps our aircraft evade radar-guided missiles. Ted, stop ignoring the horrible reality that Saddam Hussein would just love to get his grubby mitts on nuclear missiles, and he wouldn't hesitate a moment to use them. America's research and development against this threat is the firm hope we have. Don't sacrifice American lives because of an ancient bias you've always had. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on legislation that will force Detroit to build cars that get 45 miles per gallon. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Some Senate Democrats have their way. Cars will get better mileage, but you'll need a can opener to get in and out of the driver's seat. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Democrats in the Senate want to again deny all the laws of physics and force Detroit to build cars that get 45 miles per gallon. These well-intended but misguided buddies of yours ignore facts that manufacturers have made great strides since the 70s, increasing the average fuel economy for cars from 13 miles per gallon to 28. That was and is real progress. Now, if Congress is to direct the next step, Americans will face severe restrictions on the availability of many family-sized and full-size autos. The demo plan will also certainly sacrifice safety for gas mileage, since about the only kind of car that will get 45 miles to the gallon is a sardine can on wheels. Of course, you will probably still be joyriding around that old gas guzzler of yours, Ted, so what do you care?
Al, you're taking that issue too personally. It's interfering with your judgment. At 6 feet 7 inches tall, you'd have trouble getting in and out of any car, whether it gets 10 miles to the gallon or 40. But that's no reason to reject a good idea that will benefit the country. Frankly, in the Middle East crisis, President Bush could set a better example, too, by not racing around in his gas-guzzling speedboat at Kennebunkport. An excellent way to reduce dependence on foreign oil is by improving the gasoline mileage of cars. They use half of all the oil America consumes. With higher fuel efficiency, we'll need less foreign oil. Going from 27 miles a gallon, today's average, to 40 miles a gallon by the year 2000 will save 3 million barrels of oil a day. Solve your problems with a sunroof, Al. Your head can stick out, but let the country solve its problems, too. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on a critical issue for senior citizens, age discrimination. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Older workers deserve protection against age discrimination on the job. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, one type of unacceptable bias even you ought to be opposing is age discrimination against older workers. For more than 20 years, we've had tough laws on the books to protect working men and women against that kind of prejudice. Employers are required by law to provide equal benefits to all workers regardless of age. In some cases, such as health care and disability, where the benefits cost more for older workers, firms can provide unequal benefits if costs are equal. But last year, the Supreme Court rejected that rule and exposed millions of workers to age discrimination by unscrupulous employers. Now Congress is trying to reverse that devastating court decision, but some of your right-wing pro-business friends are bent on blocking action. You're wrong on race and sex discrimination, Al, but can't you at least be right on age discrimination instead of far-right?
Ted, Americans are living longer, healthier lives, and with a lifetime of experience to draw from, older Americans should have every right to work for as long as they so desire. In fact, employers are finding that older Americans make the best employees, and many companies go out of their way to hire them. So don't bellow fire in a crowded theater. There are very tough federal laws that protect all Americans over 40 from being discriminated against by age. The Supreme Court decision you babble about only made a very narrow interpretation on certain employee benefits. Reversing this one single high court decision could end many early retirement programs and force employers to lay off their older workers. At a time when Congress should be offering only incentives to hire seasoned professionals, here you are making federal regulations so complicated that no one will want to reach out to touch an older worker again. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on foreign corporations that want to do business in America but not pay any taxes. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Some foreign companies who do big business in the U.S. are making lots of bucks but not paying many taxes. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, there are now a lot of foreign companies who do business in the U.S., and business has been good. Assets of foreign-controlled corporations grew 368% in the last decade to almost a trillion smacks. The problem is so many of these firms go to great lengths to dodge paying taxes. Using a little scam known as transfer payments, a foreign company overcharges its American subsidiary for the product it sells to them, then siphons off profit to some other country where taxes are lower. The IRS estimates that America is being ripped off $12 to $50 billion in unpaid taxes each year by these foreign firms. Ted, for once, why not support a plan that sees that the Treasury Department gets the resources to go after these foreign companies who want open access to America but don't want to pay for the privilege? I say, nail them.
Al, tax evasion by foreign corporations operating in the United States through subsidiaries has been a festering problem for years. Japanese, Korean, German, British, and Canadian corporations are cooking the books and avoiding their U.S. taxes. They're making billions of dollars in U.S. profits, often without paying a penny in taxes. A study by the House Ways and Means Committee of 18 U.S. firms distributing foreign electronics products found $116 billion in sales over a 10-year period, but a tax rate of only half of 1%. You conveniently ignored part of the problem, Al. In the Reagan years, the administration cut back deeply on the IRS, refusing to give it the resources to stop these abuses. Before we ask the American people to pay any higher taxes, Al, let's give the IRS the help it needs to stop foreign corporations from ripping off the U.S. Treasury. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on his atrocious environmental record. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson is squirming again over his atrocious record on the environment. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, when it rains, it pours. But no umbrella is big enough to shield you from the criticism that keeps raining down because of your abominable record on the environment. You don't just have to take it from me, Al. The latest indictment of your environmental record comes from the respected group called Environmental Action, which was founded 20 years ago by the organizers of the first Earth Day in 1970. They just named old Al Simpson as one of their Dirty Dozen for 1990, the 12 biggest polluters and worst environmentalists in Congress. Shame on you, Al. You can't wiggle out of this one. They cited chapter and verse, starting with your 5 key votes against essential efforts to strengthen the Clean Air Act and your 3 key votes against tough oil spill measures. I knew you were bad on the environment, Al, but one of the Dirty Dozen?
Respected group. What a joke, Ted. They were once part of Earth First and Bathe Last. 5 guys in a dark basement with a fax machine and a 40-watt bulb could do a better job than Environmental Action. Ted, I've cast thousands of votes as U.S. Senator, so it really makes me scratch my old bald dome how any serious group could extract a handful of votes and wrap a rating like that around me. And isn't it fascinating that this list is mostly conservative Republicans who just happened to be up for election this year? And what kind of amnesia is it to forget that I helped to write the Clean Air Act that Congress is now considering? And what about the Superfund Hazardous Waste Law, the Safe Drinking Water Act, Clean Water Act I helped to draft and pass and ward off the vetoes? Ted, while you were out there canoeing in Boston Harbor, I was working in the trenches on the real tough environmental laws of the last decade. That's when you get plastered by the purists. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need for Congress to acknowledge the progress South Africa has made to abolish apartheid. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. South Africa's President de Klerk comes to Washington today for meetings with President Bush. Isn't it about time Congress helps this man who has made the first ever real racial progress there in decades? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, racism and foul apartheid in South Africa are on the way out. De Klerk has fully proved himself to be a man of vision, courage, and change, a man not blind or insensitive to the plight of those around him. In fact, he's the one solely responsible for the release of your old pal Nelson Mandela. He also led South Africa's National Party into throwing open its door to all South Africans, black and white. So why not help this man to turn South Africa around? Ted, reduce the pitch of your voice and your blood pressure and ease up on sanctions. If the U.S. doesn't give South Africa some real sign of our cooperation, which reflects de Klerk's efforts, we surely run the risk of seeing him lose all the progress he's made. Ted, are you going to assist or ram it to him again?
Al, you're up to the same old trick, apologizing for apartheid. You've been itching to repeal the sanctions against South Africa ever since Congress enacted them in 1986. You were against them then, and you'll use any pretext to water them down now. It wasn't easy to enact those sanctions. You right-wingers fought them tooth and nail, and President Reagan vetoed them. Fortunately, Congress overrode the veto. Once and for all, we put the United States squarely on the side of human rights and squarely against apartheid in South Africa. Best of all, Al, the sanctions are working. Nelson Mandela and President de Klerk deserve credit for the progress being made, but the sanctions deserve credit, too. This is no time for the United States or any other nation to get cold feet and ease the sanctions. Keep the pressure on, Al. It's the best guarantee that progress will continue towards a free and democratic South Africa. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration ignored obvious warning signs before Iraq's invasion of Kuwait. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush landed hard on Iraq after the invasion of Kuwait. He deserves high marks for his strong actions against Iraq's aggression. But you can't say the same for the administration's action before the invasion. Perhaps nothing would have stopped Iraq from occupying Kuwait, but for months the State Department was coddling Saddam Hussein in ways that seemed to give him a green light and encouraged him to think he had nothing to fear from the United States. On the very eve of the aggression, when U.S. intelligence had solid evidence that invasion was imminent, the State Department looked the other way, lobbied hard against a bill in Congress to impose economic sanctions against Iraq, and said we had no defense commitment to any country in the Persian Gulf. A stitch in time saves nine, Al. In this case, it might have saved Kuwait.
Ted, talking out of both sides of your mouth can hurt more than a trip to the dentist, especially when you have to grudgingly admit President Bush is doing one fine job. You're like that old Monday morning quarterback, and I have to chuckle at the feeble attempt to blast the administration's actions before Iraq invaded Kuwait. Ted, I remember 4 years ago when you stomped and ranted around railing against Reagan for protecting Kuwaiti tankers with American flags and our U.S. fleet, remember? Ted, you rattled on how the president's action was a violation of the War Powers Act. You pumped it up that our ships would become a, quote, floating Beirut barracks in the Gulf. Ted, keep those old tired clinkers in your hearth. Maybe if you hadn't helped to scuttle President Reagan's actions in the Gulf 3 years ago, President Bush would not be dealing with the tough decisions that face him now. Way to go, Ted. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the use of natural gas to solve the energy crunch and clean up the environment. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. With gas prices rising at the pump, should we start thinking about solving our energy needs with natural gas? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, weeks before Iraq invaded Kuwait, America's dependence on imported oil had never been higher. It totaled over 50%. Knowing that, it should not have come as a surprise, even to you, that the old price at the pump was going to jump. In our renewed search for energy solutions, maybe it's time America sees the potential of natural gas. Not only is it much cleaner than gasoline, it's also a lot cheaper. It would cost the equivalent of 70 cents a gallon to fuel up a car, and best of all, America has abundant supplies of it. Enough to make up the difference in the current crisis and finally get America on the track to energy independence. So toss away your old whale harpoon. Boiling blubber might have once made Boston the energy capital of America 100 years ago, but the time has come, the walrus said, to look toward the future of natural gas.
Well, it's obvious that Big Al loves big oil, but the truth is the crisis in the Middle East is being misused by profiteering oil companies to gouge the public. They can't have it both ways. When the cost of oil goes down, the oil companies say it takes months for price reductions to reach consumers at the pump. So how come when the cost of oil increases, the price of the pump goes up overnight? You're right about one thing, though, Al. Using natural gas instead of gasoline in cars and other vehicles can reduce our dangerous dependence on foreign oil. Because of the Clean Air Act, more and more vehicles are now being built or converted to run on natural gas, since polluting emissions are cut by up to 50% compared to gasoline. But I don't have to tell you that, Al. Judging from your Senate speeches, you've been running on natural gas for years. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on a needed step in the war on crime, a waiting period before handguns can be purchased. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Let's crack down on easy access to handguns by criminals, addicts, and the mentally ill. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, legislation to make a significant difference in the war on crime is in danger of falling by the wayside in the final weeks of Congress. I'm talking about the Brady Bill to impose a 7-day waiting period before anyone buys a handgun. It's named for Jim Brady, who was severely wounded a decade ago in John Hinckley's attack on President Reagan. With a waiting period, Hinckley might never have been able to purchase the handgun used in the attack. Current law prohibits handgun sales to criminals, addicts, and the mentally ill, but it's a hollow law. No teeth. A 7-day waiting period would give law enforcement officials enough time to run a background check on prospective handgun buyers and weed out the bad eggs. For once, Al, stand up to the National Rifle Association and stop this senseless handgun violence.
Ted, you are one tough cookie to figure out on this crime stuff. You just voted no on a crime bill that has some of the first assault rifle control measures ever to pass the Senate. About our friend Jim Brady, Reagan's press secretary who was so brutally gunned down, a waiting period would not have kept John Hinckley from getting a gun because Hinckley didn't have a criminal record. How would a 7-day wait have prevented that sick and obsessed man from getting his hands on the trigger? Ted, there are none so blind than those who will not see. Washington, D.C., with the toughest handgun law of any city in our nation, but that hasn't kept it from becoming the murder capital of the free world. Compare that with my home state of Wyoming, where some folks do their work in pickup trucks with a gun rack in the back. Do you know what the recent crime of the week was in Cheyenne? Somebody stole a little girl's bike. What's all that tell you, Ted? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on environmental terrorists who think trees are more important than humans. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Some extremist environmentalists think it's quite okay to maim a person if it saves a tree. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, you'll get no argument from me on the need to protect the environment. But for boobs who preach a gospel of booby-trapping trees with steel spikes to break up chainsaws that then maim lumberjacks, you won't get one shred of support from me on that one. This zealous environmental insanity called monkey wrenching is making terrorists out of environmentalists. Whether it's banging up bulldozers or threatening fellow humans, those who peddle this brand of activism do their cause much harm. Even Dave Foreman, founder of the radical group Earth First, quit his former buddies last month in disgust and said, "I don't believe that muddying the issues with a lot of class struggle rhetoric or weird lifestyle stuff works." Ted, you have a hard enough time sticking it to the most heinous criminals. I can only imagine how you might think these eco-terrorists should get a light slap on the pinky instead of doing time. Your thoughts?
Nonsense, Al. They should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. There's a similar mentality between the Earth First organization and other extremist groups. They think their cause warrants the use of violence. The end doesn't justify the means, Al, whether it's spiking trees to save the redwoods, trashing medical research labs to protect the rights of animals, or bombing clinics to block abortions. This country has a noble tradition of civil disobedience to call attention to the need for social change. But that's not a license for criminal acts that threaten the lives of others. The environmental movement, the civil rights movement, and the movement for equal rights for women demonstrate the continuing progress that can be made by peaceful change without resort to violence. Just once, though, Al, I'd like to hear old Double Standard Simpson express a little outrage against polluters. You're against Earth First, but you don't have to put Earth last. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy with a landmark civil rights bill heading for the White House. Will President Bush sign it in a moment? Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush has been misled by his advisors about the bipartisan civil rights bill in Congress. For months, the White House has been calling it a quota bill and threatening a veto. Hogwash, Al. This whole controversy is over one key provision, to reverse a 1989 decision by the anti-civil rights majority on the Supreme Court. That unfortunate ruling drastically weakened a long-standing law banning race and discrimination on the job. All Congress is doing is restoring a law on the books for 18 years. There's not a scintilla of evidence in all those years that employers felt obliged to adopt quotas. You can look it up, Al. So can President Bush. The quota argument has no credibility. It just ain't so. Veto the bill? No way, Al, unless President Bush is against civil rights for women and minorities.
Ted, come on. President Bush has a lifetime dedication to our nation's most basic legal principle, equal protection under the law. So why do you like to keep trying to pass legislation that will make some people more equal than others? Your Kennedy quota bill has a whole laundry list of punitive regulations to be used against employers if their workforce doesn't very carefully match the ethnic distribution of the surrounding community. If that doesn't create a quota system, I sure don't know what does. And how demeaning it is to tell a person that the only reason they got the job is because they filled a quota. Ted, you wouldn't know this, but most Americans want to be hired knowing they're the best darn qualified person for the position. Let's work toward a system that rewards individual achievement, not one that gives rise to segregation of minority groups, racism in reverse again. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Secretary Cheney's decision to fire Air Force Chief of Staff General Dugan. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney did exactly what he had to do when he fired Air Force Chief of Staff Mike Dugan. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, it's most unfortunate when someone as dedicated to his country as General Dugan makes a fatal blunder. But the Secretary was dead right. Dugan's ill-considered remarks about U.S. military strategy in the Middle East should not have been blabbed over every front page in America. Dugan knew he was playing with dynamite when he gave detailed information about classified operations to reporters who traveled within the Middle East, a trip he now knows he should have made all by his lonesome. Ted, President Bush agreed that Dugan should be removed, but left that final decision in Cheney's hands. I stand right with my old friend Dick on this one. The lives of our American men and women stationed in the Middle East are ever more important than grabbing a dramatic headline in the Washington Post.
Al, when I saw the newspaper story on General Dugan, my first reaction was that President Bush is sending a blunt message to Saddam Hussein. My second reaction was that couldn't be true. I have my differences with President Bush, but it's hard to believe his Persian Gulf battle plan includes carpet bombing of Baghdad. If we do go to war, we're certainly not going to try to maximize casualties among Iraqi civilians. As President Bush told the Iraqi people on TV, our quarrel's not with them. It's with the aggression of their dictator. We can't defeat him by adopting his ruthless tactics. As we learned right away, General Dugan was not stating U.S. policy at all. He was off the reservation and was sacked for loose talk. The Dugan flap may have a silver lining as a wake-up call on what might lie ahead. This isn't Grenada or Panama, Al. Let's hope the embargo works. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Pentagon's latest brainstorm, a slush fund in the Middle East. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Pentagon tried to pull a fast one on Persian Gulf spending. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Pentagon has a sense of humor. How else do you explain their scheme to set up a giant slush fund for the billions of dollars being sent to Uncle Sam from foreign countries to pay the cost of our Persian Gulf buildup? The administration tried a blatant end-run around Congress's constitutional power of the purse. The Pentagon dusted off a 1954 statute allowing small sums contributed to the government by patriotic citizens to be placed in a special discretionary fund. Shades of the SNL and Iran-Contra scandals, Al, the billions of dollars flowing into the United States from foreign governments require strict accounting, not a Pentagon blank check. Fortunately, the slush fund idea barely surfaced when the administration backed down. But what made them embarrass themselves, Al, by suggesting it in the first place?
Ted, stop serenading us from the top of the old ivory tower of Babel. Instead, why not give a cheer for the administration's success for getting big financial backing from our allies to pay for the Gulf crisis? We've already lined up $20 billion. For once, Uncle Sam won't be stiffed by those we help and then forced to pay all the tab. As for this sinister Pentagon account you drone on about, it's an established account with oversight not only by the Comptroller General, but by the Inspector General. In fact, I can tell you that the account has received $603,105.33 over the past 36 years. I'll bet you can't tell me, to the penny, what's in your checking account. Why don't you just admit that your real frustration is that you want Congress and your very own Armed Services Committee to have complete control over all of the Gulf crisis funds that our allies have put on the table? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on President Bush's continuing resolve to cut defense spending. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The buildup of U.S. forces in the Gulf hasn't stopped the Bush administration from trimming back on defense spending. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, even in the face of the massive military buildup in the Middle East, America's fine Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney stays committed to cutting defense spending. With a steady hand, Cheney continues to press ahead with his plans to cut the nation's all-volunteer force by 25% by 95. And last month, he announced that 150 military sites in foreign nations will be closed down at a savings of billions. Ted, you're always ragging and nagging about Pentagon spending, but Cheney's ringiest opposition always comes from you fellow Democrats, who, like you, moan and wail about the defense budget, yeah, until they find out the base in their old home district will be chopped. You'd love to have it both ways, Ted, but you're either a part of the solution or part of the problem. The moment of truth, eh, Ted?
Al, defense cuts are in the eye of the beholder. Look again. Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney has fooled you once more. Sure, he's agreed to reduce the force structure by 25% over the next 5 years, but his overall cut in the Pentagon is much lower, only 10 or 12%. Deeper reductions are possible and achievable. The Cold War is over. We could cut NATO by 50% and the nuclear budget by another 15% and still have plenty left for operations like Desert Shield. The Pentagon's hung up on Cold War spending priorities. Why else would they insist on wasting billions of dollars on Star Wars and B-2 bombers? Tell the Pentagon to wake up and smell the brass, Al. It's a whole new world out there. We may need to spend a little more on sea lift and special operations, but we can spend a lot less on NATO and nukes. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on voter registration reform. It's long overdue. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Ted Kennedy, Congress is finally dealing with our outdated system of voter registration. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a serious problem undermining our democracy is low voter turnout. Year after year, election after election, state after state, fewer and fewer Americans go to the polls. Part of the problem is our archaic system of voter registration. Millions of citizens are discouraged from voting because registration is an inconvenient and sometimes impossible ordeal. Legislation in Congress will require states to shape up and let citizens register by mail, register in public buildings, or register when they apply for a driver's license. It's also got tough anti-fraud provisions to prevent any abuse. But for some reason, Republicans don't like it. You even went so far, Al, as to support a Senate filibuster to keep it from passing. Voter registration reform is long overdue. What are you afraid of, Al? Higher voter turnout?
Nope. I'm afraid of Democratic duplicity. My state of Wyoming has very high voter turnout, 80% in the last election. Not like your state of Massachusetts, which barely voted 50%. Those numbers alone should tell you that not all the states are apathetic about turning out to vote. More importantly, this should clearly tell you that increasing voter registration is something best left on the state and local level. The federal government has no right at all to tell the states how they should register people to vote, especially when the feds won't cough up the funds to pay for the new regulations. Ted, gone are the days when Chicago's Democrat Mayor Daley would register whole graveyards and turn out the spooks in record numbers to help elect his rummy old cronies. Maybe that's democracy at work to you, Ted. But it sure ain't my idea of honest government. A federal law making it too easy to register only assures and encourages voter fraud. We elephants do remember. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Senate confirmed Judge Souter on the Supreme Court by an overwhelming majority, 90-9. But that sure didn't stop old Ted Kennedy from voting against him. In a moment, he and I will face off. Ted, you were one of two handfuls of senators who voted against Judge Souter as a member of the Supreme Court, and you were the only member to vote against that nomination in the Judiciary Committee. While your fellow liberal Democrats, men like Howard Metzenbaum and Joe Biden, could thoughtfully support Judge Souter, why couldn't you? At his confirmation hearing, you kept railing on about the burden of proof of his worth being left up to Judge Souter. In a society always committed to the principle that people are innocent until proven guilty, you wouldn't even extend that same decency to the judge. In your jaundiced eye, David Souter was already guilty of some unknown something. And while Souter proved to all he had an open mind, you showed just how narrow your liberal views have become. Too bad.
Al, you got it backward. The Constitution gives the Senate an independent role on judicial nominations. You're the one who ducked your responsibility. You rolled over for the nomination of Judge Souter. You rolled out the whitewash, and now he's on the Supreme Court. Judge Souter's record was controversial. His testimony raised troubling questions about the depth of his commitment to the core constitutional values at the heart of our democracy, including the role of the Supreme Court and the power of Congress in protecting individual rights and liberties. Based on the thin evidence available, Judge Souter may well lock in a 5-4 anti-civil rights, anti-privacy, anti-abortion Supreme Court majority. If so, millions of real Americans will be denied their right to real opportunity and real justice. It's no use asking you, Al. You voted for Bork. You'll rubber stamp anyone. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the budget deal and the budget crisis. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. As Congress and the White House learned the hard way, the most important test of a budget deal is that it has to be fair. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, reducing the budget deficit is our number one domestic priority. Achieving a fair compromise is essential because it's the only way to avoid the destructive automatic cuts required by the Graham-Rudman law. But it's a bitter pill, and it's harder to swallow because of the irresponsible tactics of special interest groups. They're playing politics with the economy in order to escape their fair share of the sacrifice required. The initial try for a compromise failed because it flunked the test of fairness. It put excessive burdens on the elderly and on low and middle income workers and let wealthy taxpayers off the hook. It also penalized many states disproportionately. That was too high a cost to pay for a budget deal, Al. We have to do better. Doing nothing is worse.
Ted, don't turn this most serious of national problems into petty, snide party politics. In the Democrat-controlled House and Senate, your own party's votes would have been quite enough to pass the budget package without any Republicans. Ted, the responsibility for sane budgeting belongs to every single American, Republicans and Democrats alike, not just to Congress. The fiscal health of our nation is really at stake here. Ted, why is it that a mad foreign power threatening America can make us all unite, but when just as serious a crisis endangers the very fabric and security of our nation, the solutions are then prey to partisan name-calling and special interest moaning? Ted, you don't just want to pass the buck, you want to spend it first. Are you going to help make the tough political decisions you were hired on by the people to make, or will it be monetary manana for you one more time? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on congressional lobby groups who frighten senior citizens into donating contributions. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.